glad you're all here this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Another day to worship the Lord. You know, as we were worshiping today, I just wanted to encourage us here at Calvary Chapel that this is a time for us to let the Lord just move through us. Our time of worship is to really just sing these songs to Him. Even as Blake had shared, you know, these aren't just neat words to sing, but these are truly, hopefully, prayers from our hearts, that these are the things that we want God to experience and to do in our lives. And so just wanted to remind us all of that. We are in the book of Acts. If you want to open your Bibles there, it's in Acts chapter 2, the last few verses. We will continue a message I started a few weeks ago on fulfilling your purpose. So if you need a Bible, all you do is raise a hand and one will be given to you. Acts chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 42. That's where we left off last time. Acts chapter 2. Anybody need a Bible? Nope. Good. Everybody brought their Bibles. Good. Or at least their phones. Before we get started, I'd like to pray. So will you pray with me, please? Father, once again, we come to your word and how grateful we are for the scriptures, how grateful we are for the Bibles that we hold in our hands. And God, I do pray for each and everyone here that this is not the only day we open this book, that truly, God, there is such life within these pages. We find such encouragement. We find such motivation and just responsibility and knowing how to live our lives. And so as we come to this section in the book of Acts and the birth of the church, God, we just pray that there would be a flame inside of us that would be fanned. I pray, God, that we would take serious our relationship with you, that we would take serious that we are considered your children and we are called Christian, that we would act appropriately, Lord. And when we don't, Lord, we know that there is forgiveness there. And so I pray for each and every one of us in this room, Lord, that you would lift us up, that you would help us to look to you to be our everything. Lord, that it is just so great to know that we don't do this life all by ourselves, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us brothers and sisters in Christ to love us, to encourage us, and to be there for us, even through difficult times. So as we look to the scriptures this morning, I pray that you would speak clearly to us. And that, Lord, it would not be just a message that we hear and then forget, but truly that we would never forget the things that we're going to read this morning and going to consider this morning, that we would take these things with us as we leave this place and let them be lived out each and every day this week and for the rest of our lives. So we pray, speak to us, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about fulfilling your purpose. As I looked at this last section of Acts chapter 2, you know, again, the birth of the church and the things the church did, you know, there's some responsibility on our part to grow in our faith, a responsibility on our part to make sure we're seeking after the Lord and we're pressing in with each other. And that's why we gather together on a regular basis here at the church, so that we can fellowship together, certainly hear the word and worship and just forget about the week and forget about what's coming next week and just focus on God. And that's what we see this early church doing, is really focusing on God. And when we were talking about this last time, I reminded us that God has something good in store for each and every one of us, doesn't he? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has good plans for you? I mean, we all know Jeremiah 29:11, but I want to remind you what that verse says. As the prophet Jeremiah, speaking by the Holy Spirit, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Such an encouraging verse. Such a verse that we need to come back to and remember that God has good plans for us, has good thoughts towards us. You know, do we sometimes think that God looks down at us in disappointment? God looks down at us and goes, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" I don't think that's God's heart at all. I think when we mess up, I think when we make mistakes, God looks down and goes, I feel your pain. I feel your struggle. Because it always doesn't always go right, does it, every single day? Some days are better than others, wouldn't you admit? Some days we'd like to forget. But sometimes the enemy brings them back to our memory. But God has plans for us. And I never want you to think that he intends you to live in misery. God doesn't test you and doesn't cause you to go through things so that he can see how well you do or how... No, he does it so you will grow. He does it so you'll become stronger in your faith. And so for that, we need to be thankful that God doesn't give up on us and that he does want to use us in that capacity. See, we remembered last time, the Bible is full of passages talking about joy. Talking about joy. And I can be honest with you, my first devotion that I ever taught, even before I was a pastor, was about joy. You know, it was 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. It says, our Bible says, rejoice always. In another version that I taught there from, it says, be joyful. Do that. Be joyful. Rejoice always. And it's a great verse, short, sweet, simple, but can we actually live up to it? Can we always be joyful? Some people are always in a good mood, right? Some people are just always that way. Things don't bother them. I happen to be one of those people. Very rarely do things bother me. It drives my wife crazy because everything bothers her. Ugh. But honestly, when we truly think about who we are in Christ, do we not have a reason to be joyful? Do we not have a reason to be thankful for the God that we serve? Yes. Yes, maybe life doesn't go right. Maybe things aren't happening the way you want it. Maybe you're not getting the job that you want, or you're not having the career you want, or you don't have the family you want, all those things. But when the rubber meets the road, you're a Christian. You're a brother or sister in Christ. You're a child of God. And that, my friends, when we remember that, should bring us great amounts of joy. Being joyful doesn't mean every day is going to be joyful. It doesn't mean that the overall sense of gladness should permeate your life. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's one of my favorite verses in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I try to remind myself that. My joy doesn't come from the world. My joy doesn't come from experiences. My joy doesn't come from anything but from God. And that's where I want it to be. There's so much to be thankful for in this life. How can you get to the place where you are living in joy more often than you're living in misery or discouragement? I've got a couple things. Number one, living a life that is joyful takes determination. It takes determination. It's having an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. It's just such a good... Lord, I'm thankful. You know, that verse, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, it says in Thessalonians. That's our church verse. In everything, be thankful. Be thankful for the things that are going on in your life. So it's having an attitude of gratitude for everything that you have currently. Listen, we all have things that we want. There's always things we would like to add to our lives. But do we forget about the things that we do have already? And then second, and this to me is the most important, a strong commitment to constantly give your problems over to God. All right? Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And that, my friends, is not something we can do in the physical. Okay, God, here is my stuff. No, but it's a mental thing. It's a heart thing. It's like, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this issue to you. I'm going to ask you to help me get through this. It's a constant communication with God saying, Lord, I need your help. And I'm telling you, God is that helper for us in our time of needs. At the birth of the church, they were committed to four things. Four things. And I believe these four things, if we today as believers would be committed to them as well, would help us tremendously in our own relationships, in our own lives, but it'll also help the church at large. Look with me at verse 42 in Acts chapter 2. We read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, notice that, in the temple, Jewish temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity in heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We're going to look at three things when it comes to fulfilling your purpose. But in this first thing, we're going to be looking at four of the qualities that I think are important in every believer's life. This first thing we're looking at is the unity. Okay, this church, when they were birthed, when the church was born, they were together. Notice that it says, and they continued steadfastly. They came together. They continued together. How important it is for us to have unity in the body of Christ. That we are all on the same page. See, we might see things differently in life. We might have different personalities or different tastes, and that's fine. But ultimately, as a body of believers, we should all be going in one direction. Growing in the Lord and leading others to Christ. How important it is that others come to know the Lord. Now, as parents, you want your children to know the Lord, certainly. And maybe they're friends. But your neighbors, your co-workers, do they know God? We live in the Bible Belt. Just about everybody, quote, in quotes, believes, right? But do they have a strong relationship with Christ? Do they have a commitment to God? It's one thing to believe, isn't it? But it's another thing to be obedient and to abide in Christ. God bless you. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. So belief is not enough. It can't be enough to just believe. And my friends, I am telling you, there are loads of people in this area that believe, but they're not walking with the Lord. They're not committed to Christ. And when I mean committed, I just mean I'm living my life, and when I get an opportunity, I'm going to share Christ with them. It was a couple weeks ago, I'm getting old, so now I got to pay someone to stretch me because I can't stretch myself. And this girl who was stretching me, we got to talking, and they always ask, so what do you do for a living? Here we go. I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor. I'm a Christian. Yeah. Long story short, 2 years ago, she used to go to church with her husbands and kids, but now her and her husband have split up, and the church that he goes to is what church she used to go to, and now she doesn't go to that church any longer. And so we get to talk, and you know me, I'm a pastor, so I'm thinking, okay. She didn't say what church she was going to, so that either means she's not going to church or she doesn't want to tell me, one of the two. So I just let a little bit of time go, and then she goes, so you haven't asked me yet if I'm going to church or not. I said, well, I didn't want to be pushy. She goes, I haven't been to church in 2 years. I'm like, well, that's too bad. And I told her, I'm a pastor at Calvary Chapel. We'd love to have you. You know, we're a small fellowship, but we just would love to have you join us. And at the end of our time together, she's like, I'm going to come visit your church, but it won't be for a couple weeks. She goes, don't you love that? I'm going to tell you I'm coming to your church, but I'm not coming for a couple weeks. I'm like, listen, if you want to come, that's great, but let me encourage you in this. Get into a fellowship. Get to church. Grow in your relationship with God. Guys, it is just literally making ourselves available to listen to what's going on in people's lives. You probably have coworkers that are struggling with their relationship to God. They don't feel connected in any way. They know who God is. They remember committing their lives to Christ, but they're not walking with Him. And there are so many people in this town that are just either in a fellowship that they're disappearing into and not growing in, or they're just not going because they can't find a place to be loved on. That's what we want, right? We want people to be loved on. This church continued steadfastly. They were committed to walking with God. There has to be a commitment in our lives. Notice it says they were committed to four things, and they continued steadfastly. That word steadfastly means devoted to. It means persistent in. So when it comes to being a believer, some things that we're supposed to be doing aren't optional. We have to be committed to it. Now, we might think, well, sometimes I do my devotion, sometimes I don't. Do you ever struggle with that? Or are you really good about doing your devotion every single morning? Anybody do it every single morning? One, two. Life gets in the way, doesn't it? And do you know the enemy wants to beat you up so much for that? I have a friend, he and I text back and forth our daily reading of the scripture that we're going through. And he's a lot better at texting me than I am at texting him. And we get so convicted, don't we? Listen, it's not a checklist to mark off. It should be something that we desire to do, to find time to spend with God. I've said this a million times. When I first became a Christian, I had a booklet, and it said 15 minutes alone with God. And I'm like, if I can't give God 15 minutes, then how pathetic am I? But isn't that true? Finding 15 minutes? I'm like, I got to hit the snooze bar one more time, and then I don't have my 15 minutes, and I got to go. No, guys, we've got to be devoted to it. We got to be persistent in it. This early church was continuing steadfastly. Notice what? In the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine speaks of teachings. It speaks of the Old Testament, the scriptures that they had at the time, the Bible that they had at the time. They continued to that. But they also got together and talked about the teachings of Christ. Again, these were the apostles leading to people to Christ, and they're sharing the teachings of Jesus, just like we do today, just like the Bible that we hold. So it was the Word of God, the apostles' doctrine, the things that we hold to, the tenets of the faith, the things that Jesus tells us to do in this life. And if we're not staying in this on a regular basis, we're dying spiritually. We might look good on the outside, but spiritually, we don't have the truth. Too many Christians in this world are not reading the Word of God, and they're just living life like the world is. They believe in God, but they don't want to be obedient to Him. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, we want to teach you the Word of God. We want you to get in the Scriptures. Listen, I could put a Scripture up there and teach a message. You would never have to open your Bible. It might be entertaining, but would it be life-giving? I doubt it. Because the reason we go through the Bible systematically is so that you learn to open the Word, so that you can read through it and go through it. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They just loved coming together and talking about God's Word. Just not much dissimilar than what we do on Wednesday night. We come together, we open our Bibles, and we talk about God's Word. So there's a shameless plug for our Wednesday night service. But listen, if you can't make it to a Wednesday night service, please do me a favor. Open the Word of God. Open the Bible. I have a tiny little Bible in my truck, so it's always with me. So if I'm ever going somewhere and I need the Word, it's right there for me. Have it close by. Have it with you. Because you can read the Word of God anywhere. I mean, we certainly have our phones. You can do that. Open your phone and read the Word of God. Get in. Make a habit of it. This is the early church. And I don't know about you, but when I read the book of Acts, I get super convicted. Anybody else? It's like such amazing things are going to happen in this book. And it's like, Lord, I want those to happen here. I want that to happen in this church. I want this to happen today. But you know what? This is the commitment we got to have. We got to stay in the Word of God. And we got to be obedient to what it says. And that's where the fellowship, to me, comes in. Because we're going to encourage each other to stay in fellowship with Him. And to stay obedient to the Word of God. Don't be too busy to get in the Word. Do me a favor. Think about all the other things in your life that you're so committed to that you do on a regular basis. Shouldn't we give God that commitment as well? Shouldn't we spend that time committed to the Word of God? I bet if I challenged you to read the Word of God for 30 days in a row, at the end of 30 days, you would be so much more strengthened by God's Word. I think you'd be a lot less, you wouldn't worry as much, you wouldn't be discouraged. I think you'd be more confident in God. And it's a challenge that we all have to do. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Fellowship is participation, it's communion together. There's a connection that believers possess that the world doesn't possess, right? When you see another believer, There's something about that. I mean, we can all join clubs and different things, but man, when we come together as believers, there's that connection. There's hey, I care about you enough that I want to know what's going on in your life. What's happening in your life? Where you, what's going on? Do we know what's happening in each other's lives? I believe even in a small church like this, there are still people that sit on this side of the room that don't know people that sit on this side of the room. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I said. Let's not wait till God adds more people to the church to say, well, I just don't know anybody there. If there's somebody in this room you've never met, walk up to them after service and say, my name is, what's yours? Fellowship. That's what they did. They came together. Fellowship with each other and fellowship with God, right? It's not just fellowship with us. It's fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We got to stay connected to God, and by doing that, we stay connected to each other. There's a dependence upon each other. Christian life is filled with fellowship together. I want to know what's going on in your life, but I don't want to find out on social media. Is Emily in the room? What is it with kids today? They get a driver's license and they don't drive. I was driving before I got a license. Illegally. I'll confess. But the good thing is we want to know what's going on in each other's lives, don't we? We should be. I mean, I always say my life's an open book. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sorry. It's just what it is. Fellowship with each other. We share the same Jesus. We share the same guide for life, the same love for God, the desire to worship. You know, when we come together to worship, we should be encouraging each other to worship. I want to say this. When you're worshiping here, pretend nobody else is in the room. Pretend it's just you and the Lord. If you want to clap your hands, if you want to raise your hands, no running, please. Let's not get crazy. But truly, worship God. Let your spirit connect to God's spirit and worship. I think it's important for us to be moved by God to worship Him. Don't look at worship as just the music that we sing before we get into the Word of God. It's preparing our hearts. It's that connection. So we worship the same God. We share the same struggles and victories. We're all the same of flesh. The same job of loving Him. And the same responsibility of sharing the Word of God, sharing the gospel with others. See, I can't reach the people that you can reach. So I want you to be equipped to reach them. Your coworkers or just the people that are in your life. The next one here, fellowship and in the breaking of bread. That's what we did, I think it was 2 weeks ago, in communion. You know, it's remembering what Jesus has done for us. How often do you remember what Jesus has done for you? That's why we try to do it systematically here at the church every month. Just remember, Jesus, what you did for us. Because when you remember how much He's done, it encourages you for how much He's yet to do in your life. So that one's kind of self-explanatory, breaking bread together. Prayers. I think I shared this last time, breaking of bread and in prayers. And in the original language, this really says, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. It wasn't just people praying. It was people coming together to pray. It was people purposely saying, we are going to come together and we're going to pray. In the prayers. It was an event that they had. Who in your life are you praying with? It's fine to pray to God. That's fine. But when you're praying with someone, it takes it to another level. And for some of you, maybe praying with someone else, you're thinking, well, I got to pray out loud? Yes. Pray out loud. Speak it. But to be praying with each other in the prayers. It's important to pray together. I love this. I found this on the internet. You got to love Billy Graham. The devil will tremble when you pray. That's a great reminder, isn't it? When you're praying, the enemy is running. Let's not forget that. And let's pray prayers that are confident in our relationship with God, confident in the power of our God. If the enemy is messing with you, which he will do, Man, you just pray and you say, God, you need to stop this. You need to cease this. Now, sometimes I think we blame the enemy for too many things. Sometimes the things that are happening in our lives are just happening because God wants it to happen. And in prayer, you're gonna find that out. You're gonna understand that. And then other times, things are happening in our lives just for our own responsibility. So don't blame everything on the devil that's bad. But ask and in prayer, and to be in prayer with others. That's what the unity of the church is. Continuing in the apostles' doctrine, in the Word of God, in fellowship, staying together. There, a Christian on his own, a Christian on their own is just a target for the enemy. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Everything else we read about in the book of Acts is going to pivot around this. Everything that happens is because they continued continually. This is not just a one-time event. They were doing this over and over and over. It was the foundation of the birth of the church. Are these things active in your life? Are you in the Word of God? Are you praying? Are you remembering what Jesus has done for you? And are you fellowshipping with other believers? If you're here today and you don't feel connected to another believer, you're waiting for someone to come to you, I encourage you to go to someone else. Some of my deepest relationships are when I actually got out of myself and went and met someone else, not waiting for someone to come to me. It's important to have this unity. If we're going to fulfill our purpose as a church and as a people, is to stay connected in these four ways. The next thing, not only is there unity, there's generosity. Look at verse 43 again. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So we're going to pass the plate, and if anybody wants to make a donation, just kidding. This early church, as they were coming together, as they were fellowshipping together, as they were praying together, God was moving. Do you see that? God was moving. Fear came upon every soul. Everyone was touched by the Spirit of God. Everyone was touched by the move of God in such a way that they were moved to say, Lord, I'm yours. Every bit of me is yours. You want to talk about a generous heart? Not only is there unity, there's generosity. We want to be in each other's life. We want to fellowship together so that we can help each other. This little church does a lot to help either other people in the church or sometimes people that are in need in the community. We're here to help. I've said it time and time again. If you're going through something, if you're having a difficult time, number one, at least let us know so we can be praying. But also let us be asking the Lord how we can help, how we can come alongside you. Pastor RJ's not here, so I can say this. If you haven't had a date night with your spouse in a long time, he'll watch your kids. You're laughing. He'll do it. Cindy, won't he? He'll probably yell at me about it, but he'll do it. I'm kidding. He loves kids. I mean, find those opportunities to make those connections, but we have to know what the struggles are. We have to know what... Oh, he did hear it. Oh. Telling you, he'll do it. If he won't, I'll make him do it. Maybe you don't want him watching your kids. I don't know. I just thought about that. Sorry. I know he heard me. One of the greatest and most powerful works God can do is to change the human heart. I love that. And that's what he was doing here in this area of the birth of the church. He was moving in people's hearts. They were in such a way. Now, if you remember, Pentecost in Jerusalem drew many people, right? Many people were coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. So when the Spirit got poured out, we read in verse, I think it's 41, that 3,000 souls came to know the Lord. So there's a lot of people there. Now, they're all from different areas. They've come from different areas to Jerusalem. So the believers are there with their stuff and their money, and they see all these people coming together, and they're providing for them. They want them to stick around so that they can stay in fellowship, so that they can stay and learn the teachings of Christ. It's not just, okay, you believe in Jesus, now go back to your home. No, they wanted to encourage them. So they got to this place where in their prayers, like, we've got to help these people that are here. Now, there's a Jewish tradition of hospitality that during any major feast, visitors were received into private homes. No one could charge for giving a bed, a room, or for supplying the basic needs to anyone there. So that was just a general ingrain in Jew. Now, you got to believe, you got to understand, the early church was filled with Jewish believers. Jewish believers in Christ. And so they already had this habit, but the church takes it from a feast time thing to every single day. They're going to meet the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ no matter what. Guys, and that surely has to be our heart, a heart of generosity to help other people. Now, we should never look down on people that have need. You may be here today and you have a need in your life. And it's a humbling thing to come to someone and say, I could use some help, isn't it? It is. But guys, I'm telling you, when you see God move in your life, when you see God meet whatever it is, whatever need you have, you're just going to go, you're going to grow in your faith. So don't struggle on your own. Let other people know. Let me know. Let Pastor RJ know. Let someone in the church know so that those needs can be met. And that's what I love about this church. Now, the birth of this church is that they were ready to do whatever needed to be done. Do you have that attitude that everything that you possess belongs to God? And if someone has need of it, they have access to it. Now, some of us might be sitting here going, well, I don't have a lot to give. There's a lot more to give than stuff, isn't there? There's a lot more generosity. There's a lot of support that you can give, prayer support, whatever it may be. But have that heart of generosity, to have your ears open and your heart open and willing to receive any need that's in the church, that's in a need that it may be in a friend or another believer. That's what this church does, and we should learn this. We should learn this. Notice it says, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. These wonders were miracles that were for amazement purposes, and then the signs were miracles that brought instruction. So we see Jesus do this many times, as he would show his power to over the elements. You know, told Peter to walk on water, Jesus walked on water, was able to raise the dead. Those are some wonders, wouldn't you say? Other signs are for instruction, to teach and to direct. So these were the things that were happening in the church. Guys, I personally do not believe that those things have stopped. I don't think God's done doing that. I think he just needs people that are willing to push into him and to grow stronger in the Lord and say, Lord, don't do it for the amazement purposes, but use us as believers so that your power will be displayed. That's what I believe God wants to do. I do. In these last days, I think he's going to pour out his Spirit in such a powerful way. My question is, are we going to be ready for it? Are we going to be ready for God to pour out his Spirit? Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Now all who believed were together, in verse 44, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. They knew each other well enough to know the needs that were there. Could have been just basic needs, simple needs, but that's what they were doing. Acts chapter 4, when we get there, it says this: Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed were his own, but they had all things in common. We see the same thing in chapter 4. Is that our heart? Is that our attitude? Do you focus more on the things that you need in your life, or the things that you have that are available to God? I think our focus needs to change. I want to say this. As they were in prayer, as they were in fellowship, God was revealing things to them, I believe. And I believe strongly in this statement, God's Spirit reveals needs in others' lives so that the Spirit can move in us to help. See, I think God can reveal to you the need in someone else's life without them saying a word. And then if he does reveal it, what are you going to do with that? Why did he tell you that? Why did he show that to you? I can tell sometimes of close friends when they're having even a bad day or going through something. Just this past week, there was a girl at the coffee shop. I mean, she's always very bubbly, very smiley, and she was just even keeled, didn't smile, didn't say much. And I said, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Sometimes people don't want to be, but God reveals it. God shows it. Turns out there was something going on in her life. Found out from another friend. I mean, guys will show that God will show you those things if you're seeking after him. God's Spirit reveals in others. And that's exactly what happened, I believe, when we were helping out Benson a few weeks ago. Now, I haven't gotten an update on how Benson's doing. But I believe God revealed that to us so that we could assist, so that we could help in a very small way. And I think it's going to be a big way for him. And it's those types of things that God does for us. Would you do whatever it takes to help another person without anything in return? Whatever it takes. I am telling you, God is so good at paying help back people who give to others. Look at this verse. I love this verse. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I mean, how can you deny a verse like that? Number one, it says, give. That's just being generous. That's just, I'm a giver. I'm a willing person. I'm wanting to give, available to give. And then if you give, and it will be given to you. So if you give, it'll be given to you. And then God says, I'll even give you extra. It's more than enough. I was having a conversation with someone the other week, and it's like, when you give a gift to someone, sometimes the return is just the blessing that they've received a gift. That's the blessing in your heart. To see the joy on their face. You know, when you see those kids open the bags, go, wow, that's enough payback. But God says, if you give, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to make sure you have plenty. And the process just continues. The more God gives to you, the more you're going to give. But the hardest part of this verse, with the same measure that you use. Kind of goes the other way, doesn't it? If you're not generous with your stuff, if you're holding back, God's going to hold back. With the same measure you get, how much do you want God to give to you? And you better be a giver, a generous giver, if you truly want that. The same measure God will give back. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who has a pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You can't outgive God. Cannot outgive God. I was probably a Christian for about 5 years. I was driving down I-95 in South Florida, and Pastor Tony Evans came on the radio, and he was teaching on stewardship. And it was such a powerful message, and I only heard about 5 or 10 minutes of it. For the first time ever, I bought you're going to love this, how old this is, I bought the tapes, 16 tapes. And there's a section, it's such a power. I mean, if you can get your hands on it, it's so powerful. It took my relationship with God from here to here. But in one section, he gives this illustration. He goes, you know, God gives to us, and we complain. And God's always going to provide for us, because he always wants to mess around with our stuff, right? So he's like, it's just like my dog. He says, when I walk in the kitchen, and I see my dog licking the bottom of their bowl because the food's all gone, I go to bend down to get the bowl, and the dog goes, growl at me. It's like, well, you dumb dog, want to give you more food. So you go, and he growls again. It's like, this stupid dog, I'm trying to give you more food. He says, in that minute, God spoke to me. He goes, that's exactly how you treat me, Tony. God, don't touch my stuff. Don't touch my stuff. And God's going, if I touch it, I'll give you more. If you make it available to me, I'll give you more. And that illustration has never left me. And he says, I shovel it to God, and God shovels it to me, and God's shovel is a whole lot bigger. And it's just, it's those kinds of things that make it so much more clearly how much God wants to bless us and how much God wants to use us if we would truly just be willing. But the same measure, the attitude has to be, this is not my stuff. This all belongs to God. And if someone else has need of it, that's fine. That's fine. Finally, the last thing. There was unity, there was generosity, but there must be true faithfulness. Faithfulness. Look at verse 46 again. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, going to church, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. When I read that statement, simplicity of heart, man, that just brings an amazing amount of peace over my heart. That's what we want in life, right? Simplicity of heart. Not easy life, right? If anybody's got young kids, that's not going to happen for a while. But you can still have simplicity in your heart. They just were grateful for the things that God was doing. They were faithful to continue in worshiping God. So they continued daily, day by day. We don't turn Christianity on and off, do we? You're a Christian before anything else. Live accordingly. I think it's important. They were worshiping God together. And the church was meant to worship God. And to learn His Word. That's why we do what we do here on Sunday mornings. We want you to be a worshiper of God, and we want you to be a student of the Word. But you know, it goes on to be much, so much more. And God wants us to share our lives with each other. God wants us to be open and willing to do life together. I want to know you. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what makes you tick. I want to see what gifts and talents God has in your life so they can be nurtured and grow in the Lord. That's what fellowship is all about, is sharing with each other. The Christian experience was daily, joyful, and simple. I think sometimes we try to make it more than what it is. I know I can get overwhelmed with the responsibilities of being a pastor of a church, but the simplicity is just love on people. Just love on people. As best we can. And then verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. That's, some of us, we need that, don't we? Favor with some of all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. It's God's work. It's His church. It's His responsibility to add to the church. It's His responsibility to draw people into His family. I mean, this is not the church, right? We're the church. And so it's God who adds to the church. But here's the thing. Sometimes I think we can just give all the responsibility to God. Okay, God, you add to the church. What that means is it adds people into your life. Adds relationships into your life. And I believe that we have to have the responsibility of being used by God in order for God to add those people. Yeah, God can do anything, right? But people have to know that you're a believer. People have to know that you're a Christian. People have to know that you have confidence and faith in God. And through you, through the church, God adds to the church. Through the church. Through helping others, other people's lives. I want to read this. I found this interesting. In the 13th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, in an article called Church History, it says this is so interesting. The most notable thing about the life of the early Christians was their vivid sense of being a people of God, called and set apart. The Christian church, in their thought, was a divine, not a human, institution. It was found and controlled by God, and even the world was created for its sake. This conception controlled all the life of the early Christians, both individual and social. They regarded themselves as separate from the rest of the world and bound together by particular ties. Their citizenship was in heaven, not on earth, and the principles and laws by which they strove to govern themselves was from above. The present world was but temporary, and their true life was in the future. Christ was soon to return, and the employments, God bless you, and labors and pleasures of this age were of small concern. In the everyday life of Christians, the Holy Spirit was present, and all the Christian graces were the fruits. A result of this belief was to give their lives a particularly enthusiastic and inspirational character. Theirs were not the everyday experiences of ordinary men, but of men lifted out of themselves and transported into a higher sphere. Wow. Encyclopedia Britannica. Is that the church we see today? I mean, when I read this, I was like, wow, this is what we're reading. But are we, guys, I want to encourage all of us to be praying to fulfill your purpose in life is to do what your God-given gift is, what your God-given purpose is. Operate in that gift. Use it as a to the glory of God. And to invite the Holy Spirit to come and move in us, to remind us when we're going through life that there's other people around us. I'm amazed at standing in line at a Starbucks or a grocery store how people just don't talk to each other. I remember as a kid, I've told you this, on Mother's Day, my mother knew everybody in line. Talk, relationships. We got headphones in and people don't say hi anymore. I go for walks with my wife around Radnor Park. I make it a point to say hi or hello to every single person. Most of them look at me like, are you an ex-murderer or something? I mean, like, what's the color? I'm black. I'm wearing black. So what? It's like, people don't want to say hi to people anymore. Put the headphones in and just run. Don't look at anybody. I mean, my goodness, this isn't New York City or Los Angeles. Just by reading this article, you realize in some measure just how far the church has drifted from its original intent. Guys, it's not too late. We can get back. And I think the timeliness of this, reading this area of Scripture and being reminded of the things that the early church did is a reminder for all of us. God, move in us in that way. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to be the provider in your life. Let's let him do that. When we act like the church is supposed to act, lives will be changed, souls will get saved, and hearts will be transformed. I believe that with every ounce of my being. And we can do that together. God has a purpose for you. Fulfill that purpose. Walk out that purpose and give him all the glory for it. Father, we just are so grateful that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide and to be our director. That you don't leave us here alone, Lord, that you have great plans for us and purposes for us. You have good thoughts towards us, God, and you want to give us a future and a hope. And I pray that we would not get bogged down in the difficulties in life or the things that are going on in our country and our world, or maybe even just in our neighborhoods. But I pray, God, that we would be lifted up and encouraged this morning, that you can use each and every single one of us in this room. I pray we would be those Christians that are not hesitant to share about our faith, that we would be mindful of people around us that may be hurting or suffering or going through something difficult. And I pray, God, that you would use us to speak life into them, to encourage them, just as the early church did as they gathered together around the word and they prayed together. Lord, you moved them. They didn't just stay there. They went out into the world. And that last verse says, every single day more were coming in to know the Lord. So it was a vibrant church. It was active believers. So activate us, God, I pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us not be afraid to open our mouths and let you speak through us. The goodness and the grace of our Savior Jesus. As we go from this place, God, I pray that we've been well equipped to just accomplish every task this week, whatever it may be. We know you'll not leave us nor forsake us. So bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.